Now, I'd like to ask you a question. What happened to you when you got saved? Now, I'm sure you know what happened, at least some of the things, but it's possible that things happened that you were not even aware of. Is it possible to own something or have something and not be aware of it? I said, is it possible to own something or have something and not even know you have it? Yes, it is. I heard about a couple of guys who saved up their money to take a trip. They may have been coming to America, maybe going to Europe, I'm not sure. But anyway, it was about a 7 or 8 day voyage on the ship. And so they didn't want to waste their money, wanted to have still some money when they got across the sea. And so they wouldn't eat in the ship's cafeteria. They had some cheese and crackers in their room, didn't want to waste their money. But near the end of the trip, they were so hungry, and the food smelled and looked so good, they just broke down and went in there, and they really pigged out. And after the meal, they asked someone, where do you pay for the meal? And the person looked at them kind of funny, and he says, what do you mean pay for the meal? This is like all the other meals. It came with the price of the ticket. Now, did they know what they were getting when they bought the ticket, yes or no? Well, yes, they knew they were getting a trip across the ocean, but they didn't realize all the rights and privileges that went with it. And here they are missing out on all the meals because they didn't know they already had it. Now, when you got saved, lots of things happened. And I'm not going to mention all of them. Many years ago, I had an assignment from a Bible teacher, and he said, make a list of all the things that happened to you when you got saved. It took several weeks. He wouldn't let us use any other reference works, only just go to the Bible and find what the answers were. So after a few weeks, I came up with a list of 44 things that happened when I got saved. Now, when I came to faith in Jesus, I had no idea all that stuff was happening. But it's possible things happen. And I like to talk about some. I'm not going to mention all 44 of them, but I think we will be out by 4:20 or 4:30. But seriously, here's something I thank the Lord for often, almost every day, I guess. I thank him that I'm saved. I don't have to go to a lake of fire. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You ever thank the Lord you're not going to hell? Would you thank God? I started to say if you won the lottery, but if somebody else won the lottery and gave you the winnings, how would you thank God for that? You could claim Romans 8:28 on that one, couldn't you? But hey, being rescued from everlasting fire. Whew. But that's not all. We also have a home in heaven. I told you about the death of our little girl, and we sure did cry. But heaven is a whole lot better even than a happy home here on earth. And often I look forward to going to heaven, and I would look forward to seeing our little daughter again. I used to go home. She'd come running out to the gate. I'd stoop down, pick her up, hold her up high. She's not afraid of heights. And when I get to heaven, I want to hold her again. When I get to heaven, I want her to take me all around. We used to take a lot of walks together up the mountain, through the mall, along the beach, through a park. And I explained this to her, and I'd point things out to her, tell them what they were. When I get to heaven, I want her to take me all around, show me all the beautiful sights and all the fun things she's been doing. And the nice people that play with her when we can't play with her now. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Fullness of joy, pleasure forever. The Bible tells about the tree of life. Our little girl used to like to climb up on things. I wonder if she's climbing up in the tree of life right now. Picking all the fruit she wants. She's not going to fall out of the tree and get hurt, not up in heaven. Heaven is not a dark, dirty city. It's a bright city. Jesus said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I am looking forward to going to heaven. So if you're saved, you have been rescued from everlasting fire. Heaven is now your home. One of the nice things about heaven, you'll feel at home. We've all been to fancy places here on earth. Some of those places are so fancy, they won't even let you touch anything. Then you go back home. Home may not be so big, may not be so fancy, but at home, you can relax. You're at home. Hey, when you get to heaven, everyone there will like you, will welcome you. You will feel at home. You know the last thing our little girl said before she died? I had no idea this would be the last thing I'd hear her say in this life. We had just driven to hospital. She was tired. She said, I want to go home. Hey, when you go to heaven, you do go home. A better home. So, if you've been saved, you've been rescued from everlasting fire. Heaven is now your home. But even before you get to heaven, you have special rights and privileges because God is your Father. Let me illustrate. When I was growing up, and after I was a young man, I worked for several years in my dad's ministry there, and our family would often play games together. Football, touch football, soccer. We didn't just play soccer. We played with two balls at the same time. Keep your eyes open and keep you on your toes. Volleyball, basketball. I'm sure that's a shock to you that I ever played basketball, but I did. Besides our family, there's a couple of neighborhood boys. One's a boy named Jim, another boy named Lynn. They would come play with us sometimes, especially basketball, they liked. And when we got finished playing, they would go home. But there was one guy, his name was Joseph. he wouldn't leave. He'd walk right in the house, never knocked. We'd sit down to a meal. He'd sit down, help himself. As far as I can remember, we never invited him. As far as I know, he never asked. He'd get to our house late at night, 10:30 or 11 o'clock maybe. Go upstairs, we'd see he spent the night there. Listen, that didn't happen just once or twice. I'm sure it happened more than 50 times. Jim and Lynn, when they finished playing ball, they'd go home. Joseph, he'd just hang around. Maybe I didn't mention, Joseph is my brother. My dad's his dad. My mom's his mom. No wonder Jim and Lynn went home and Joseph hung around. No wonder he walked in without knocking. No wonder he helped himself a meal without asking. No wonder we never invited him. And some of you can just take back those mean thoughts you thought about me for not inviting him. Right now. What am I saying? Joseph had special rights and privileges that Jim and Lynn didn't have. My dad was his dad. Yeah, and if you're saved, God is your, and if he's your father, you have special rights and privileges other people don't have. I preach to men and women and young people and kids, but I especially preach to kids, and I'll tell you one reason I do, several reasons. One reason, they're not so hard-headed, and they won't bite your head off. Another reason is, there's only one Sunday a week. How many of you ever noticed that? There are five school days a week. I preach in church on Sunday, you know, one or two or three times like today. There are Monday, and we'll preach three times tomorrow, two here and over in Lexington, and then other places, not anywhere on Tuesday. I've got to catch my breath. And on Wednesday, I'm not sure if it's seven or eight times, or maybe more. That had me all day. And then the next day, let's see. We got to drive down to Southern Georgia and in a state convention, school convention. Anyway, I'm just saying, I get to preach 5 days a week in schools. But I got off the subject. I like kids, that's what I'm trying to say. But I don't mind telling you, I like mine more than yours and others. Yeah, and if you're one of God's children, he loves everybody. He loved them enough to send his own son. But if you're one of his children, you get special rights and special care, special privileges. So just think of yourself as a little child on your way to heaven and God as your father. When our first child was born, our daughter, I don't know if some of you remember, I used to show a picture of her. She was 9 days old, sitting in my basketball shoe. Did any of you ever see that? You remember? She was born about 11 days early, and she couldn't even hold her head very good, you know. And there she is, sitting in the shoe with her head flopped. She's pretty healthy now. In fact, she's due to have our second grandchild any day now. Today's 5 days overdue. So anyway, just want you to know I'm a grandfather now. I said I'm a grandfather now. But when she was first born, she was so tiny, so helpless. I took her on a walk the very next day. Vicki didn't go with me. I don't know why she didn't go. But anyway, Vicki stayed home. She wasn't feeling so good and sore and all that. But Evangel, she didn't know what was going on, but she was with her dad, and she's been a daddy's girl ever since. And I was so happy and proud of my little girl. I held her in my hand. Her little head rested on those three fingers. My hands were clean that time. And my little finger was under her arm. My thumb was under her other arm. And I was so happy to have my little girl. I was walking. We're out in New Mexico. We've never been out there before. And I saw some gangster-looking guys across the street. I thought about what I would do to them if they tried to hurt my little helpless, innocent, beautiful little girl. Look. You can hit me on the side of the face, guys, if you want to, and I'll turn around and let you hit me on the other side. Yeah, but if you would have tried to hurt one of my kids, I might break your neck. You think I'm kidding? Yeah, and God takes special care of his children. I've got an uncle. He's with the Lord now, Uncle John. He had a Christian school, and he had a neighbor. This boy would vandalize Uncle John's car. Here's Uncle John trying to serve the Lord. He wouldn't get much money. I said he's in Christian school, didn't I? And he was serving the Lord. And this kid, teenage boy, I think, he's letting air out of Uncle John's tires. One time he broke his windshield. Now, that's expensive. But Uncle John was a really nice guy. And he wouldn't do anything. If somebody was doing that stuff to you, would you let that go? Uncle John, let it go. He said it probably 50 times. Sometimes it ruined the tires if he goes and doesn't realize it's, you know, partly flat. Finally, Uncle John asked God to take care of it. Well, you can bet on it, the vandalism stopped. Well, the guy, he was in a swimming accident, I think, and broke his back. Yeah, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, I said the vandalism stopped. It did, for a while. The guy had a younger brother. He started doing the same thing. Guy's dumb. Didn't catch on. He starts vandalizing Uncle John's car. Uncle John didn't do anything about him either. Till finally he asked God to take care of it. The guy was in an accident, broke his neck. It reminds me of two lessons. Number one, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, so, if somebody's attacking me and I'm trying to serve the Lord, I don't need to fight back. I've got a father bigger than me, and he can take care of it real good. Another lesson, too. If other Christians do something stupid or wrong, I better be careful to still love them and maybe reprove them, point out some things, but don't hurt them and don't attack them because God is their father. And God doesn't like people hurting his kids. So, if you're saved, you've been rescued from everlasting. Heaven is now your. God is your father. And if he's your father, he will protect. He will what? Protect. We were taking a walk one time. We take a walk just about every day in our family. And we're in a little town in South Africa, and this big dog came after Timmy. He was just a little guy then. He's pretty big now, but he came. I got a piece of about a third of a brick size, and went after that dog, threw it at him. Next day, we walked the same place. I was hoping the dog would come again because I was ready for him. look, I'll protect my kids. Yeah, and the devil hates us. The demons are stronger than people are, but don't worry. You stay close to Jesus and you'll be fine. The devils are so scared of Jesus, they just tremble and shake. The devils believe and tremble. You better stay close to Jesus, though. You wander away and you're making yourself a target for the devil. You fall, get into sin, do some stupid stuff. So, if God is your Father, he will what? Protect. And another thing, he will provide. You know, when our kids were little, they never did check the want ads and see if they could get a job and buy some diapers. I'm their dad. I took care of that stuff. Yeah, and if you're one of God's children, just relax. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So God, if you're one of God's children, he will what? First, he will protect, and he will provide. And if you need other things, you can pray. I saw many years ago, when I was in junior high, I think it was, in 1961, who was the president of the United States? John Kennedy was. And I saw a picture of him in his office, the Oval Office in the White House. And there's this little toddler, or just a baby, crawling around on the floor. It wasn't in the Oval Office. I got ahead of the story. He's crawling around. He sees the door partly open. He crawls through it, and he's crawled into the office of the President of the United States. Now, how could he do that? Well, he was the president's young son. Now, the senators, South Carolina senator can't go see the president anytime he wants to. He's more likely to than the senator from Massachusetts. But better not get off the subject here. Why could that little kid go, look, the prime minister of England can't just see the president anytime he wants to. Or Nikita Khrushchev, he was a, maybe not sick, anyway, whoever it was. this kid could because he was the president's son. Yeah, and you have some a higher privilege than that. Because if you're saved, your father is. I said if you're saved, your father is. God is your father. And you don't need to make an appointment. You can go and get his, come boldly under the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, if you're saved, you've been rescued from everlasting. Heaven is now your. God is your. If he's your father, he will. He will. And you can pray. You can get the help you need. I mentioned some answers to prayer, lots of answers to prayer. I could mention it. We have about 70 in the little book, Answers to Prayer for Our Family, but there have been hundreds of them since then. Every day I pray and ask God, especially when I'm going to schools and churches, and ask God to help me. I can't do it without God's help. And we can get his help. We can come boldly. He's our Father. And what if something bad happens? Well, we can relax because we know that all things work together for good. We can relax because God has a good purpose in it. Hey, has something bad happened to you in the last few years? I said, has something bad happened to you in the last few years, you or your family? Yeah, I told something bad happened to us about our little girl. But we have seen God has brought good out of it. Obviously, as I mentioned, heaven is a whole lot better than here, even in a happy home. And many, many people were brought to the Lord through this and have been for the past 13 plus years. God brings good. Let me give you another illustration, how all things work together for good. How many of you at home have a pet? Could I see your hand? A dog, a cat, a rattlesnake, something. You got a pet. All right. Now, suppose the dog gets sick. You bring him to the vet, and the vet says he needs a shot. So he gets the needle out and gives the dog a shot. And the dog looks at that needle. He looks at the veterinarian. He looks at you. Why are you letting this man do this to me? Does the dog understand, yes or no? He doesn't know. The dumb dog doesn't know. The veterinarian doesn't get savage pleasure out of poking holes in dogs. He's trying to help the dumb dog. But the dog doesn't understand it. Yeah, and the next time we're in pain or something bad happens, he'll say, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? He knows what he's doing, folks. He has a good purpose. He has a good purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So if you're saved, you've been rescued from everlasting. Heaven is now your. God is your. If he's your father, he will. He will. You can. And if something bad happens, just relax. God has a good purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, suppose we do something wrong. How many of you ever did something wrong after you got saved? Could I see your hand? Some of you are sitting there lying to me right now. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have done wrong since we got saved. Now, there's a change. I'll talk about that a little bit more, but we have done wrong. What will God do? Well, he'll do the same thing my dad did for me when I did wrong. He will punish. Good. Somebody said he will discipline you. Come on, folks. Can't you see? He will provide. He will protect. You can pray. He has a good purpose. He will punish. Does the pastor ever use alliteration to have five C's? Or does he? I don't usually do it, but I am today. He will. I was preaching in a Christian camp, about 300 kids and a boy way back in the corner. I said, what will God do? He said, he will pop you. I think maybe he's a preacher now. That was about 20 years ago. He knew how to do it. Actually, there's more to it than being a preacher than that. Anyway, if God is our Father, I did a lot of bad things. My parents never caught me on most of them. I was pretty sneaky and deceitful. Mom caught me a few times. She gave me a little spanking. That's mild compared to what Dad did. He didn't just use his hand. He had a board about that long, about that wide, about that thick. Somebody wrote on it, Board of Education. And he educated me with it. I guess now you can call it a memory stick. He helped me remember some things. I'm not making fun of Dad, and I'm not criticizing him. He knew what the Bible said. I didn't like it. Of course, I wasn't supposed to like it. But even when I was a boy, I knew he was doing the right thing. I could read. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. Betimes means early. Another place says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And I'm glad Mom and Dad loved me enough to not only set a good example, not only pray for me, not only teach me, not only take time with us and play a lot of games and do a lot of nice things for us, but he gave me a good beating when I needed it. I say when I need it, sometimes. He didn't catch me all the time, but he did. And I may be in a premature grave from living a wicked life if Dad hadn't used the rod on me. He that spares the rod hates his son. He that loves him chastens him. Mom and Dad love me a lot. And I might be on a premature grave, my soul in hell already. And so, if God is your Father, number one, he will protect and provide. And we have the privilege, we can pray. And if something bad happens, we can relax because we know that all things work together for good. He has a good purpose. And if we get careless with sin, he will punish. Or you could say pop, or you could say paddle. Have you gotten any punishment or paddling from the Lord? Boy, I have. I told you I got some from my dad. One of the worst ones I remember. I was in the fourth grade. My younger brother Joseph was with me, first grade. We started going to school. It was only about four blocks walking, but it started raining just lightly. And so Dad got in his car to give me a ride the rest of the way. But I didn't know he was coming. Another car came up and offered me a ride. And I can still remember. It was a 1955 Chevy gray and pink. And this freckle-faced boy looked just like his mommy. And he opened the door and offered a ride, and he was being nice. That's good. Except I was told not to ride with anybody, not to ride with strangers. And everybody's a stranger except mom and dad. And I got in. I knew I shouldn't, but I didn't have the courage to say no. Dad had pulled up. He saw us get in. I didn't see him. And the lady, when she offered us the ride, she missed the turn to the school. She had to go up a block, turn around, come back, and Dad saw her drive off in another way. He wasn't dressed to, anyway, Mom came to the school shortly after to make sure I was there, and I was fine. But when I saw Mom at the door, I knew I was in trouble when I got home. And I won't give the details, but it was bad. I've gotten some from my dad. I've also gotten some from the Lord. I'd rather have one from my dad than some I've had from the Lord. As far as I know, I never got a beating from my dad that lasted longer than a minute. Of course, you get a lot of wax in 60 seconds. But I've had some from the Lord that not just lasted hours, days, maybe weeks. It was not fun. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. Good many years ago, I was doing something. I told myself it was all right. Until I got a few from God. I don't do it now. You do it, I won't judge you, but I'm not going to do it. I've learned some lessons, and I've had a more peaceful, pleasant life. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. So, if God is your Father, He will, and He will, you can. If something bad happens, relax because He has a good purpose. If we get careless with sin, He will punish. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receives. Now, as we're on our way to heaven, He also, let me ask you. Are there any strong temptations, yes or no? Yes. Are there some temptations so strong that you cannot help but sin? Yes or no? Not getting much of a vote on that, am I? The answer is, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's not going to put on you more than you can take. I read a guy was reading a book the other day. He said, some people think God won't put on you more than you can take. He said, that's not true. It most certainly is true. Exactly what God promised. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Many years ago, I was driving to Guatemala. My brother had a mission work there at that time, and I was taking a boy there to his there for his care. I won't go into all the story, but the boy's name was Marco, and he had, as a little boy, he had been in a bad fire and got his terribly burned. His face, his hands, all his fingers burned off one hand, all his fingers off the other hand, except for about half a thumb. So Marco was in terrible pain, obviously. He's brought to the United States. He got some good treatment, medical treatment, and obviously never did get his fingers back, but they did some skin grafts, and they took care of him and treated him well. So he grew up for the next 15 years, I guess, in America, and he learned English and just about forgot his Spanish. But he was now going back, had to go back to Guatemala. And I was driving, and just Marco and I were in the little pickup truck. And I decided on the way, we'll have a little devotion here. You know, long drive. So I said, you tell me something God did for you, and I'll tell you something God did for me. I said, you tell me a Bible verse you like, I'll tell you a Bible verse I like. The verse he mentioned was, There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I said, what's special about that verse? Marco said, God won't put on you more than you can take. Now that's true. If I say it, it's true. But when Marco said it, it had an extra punch to it. Well, been through a fire, man. He's handicapped all his life. He can't play sports as well because of his handicap. And the scars are ugly. And naturally, he wants the girls to like him. He wants to be able to play like the other boys. Yeah, but he said, God won't put on you more than you can take. And it's true. We can trust God. I was preaching out in Kansas City years ago. After I got through preaching, a lady came up to me. She said, there's two sins I cannot help doing, she said. She didn't believe what the Bible said, but that's what she said. She said, one is smoking, and the other is cussing. She was married to a mean man. So she felt like she couldn't help cussing. She couldn't help smoking. But the Bible truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is not going to put on you more than you can bear. And so God has given us, I haven't even said the word yet. Tell me what it is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has given us his power. That's the right one. It's not enough to get the right answer. You got to get the one I want. Have you ever been to school? You got to give the answer the teacher says. So, God has given us his power. You can do what he says. Somebody said, I never could forgive him. I never could forgive her. You know what she did? Yeah, you can. You just don't want to. If God said to do it, you can do it. Somebody said, I just can't witness. Yes, you can. You may not be able to do it, maybe not all that oratorically proper and fancy, but you can do it, stumble through it. And by the way, if you do stumble through it, they may notice it all the more. If it means that much that you stay it and it seems so difficult. My daughter one time, she saw this guy. She said, would you give him a tract? I said, you give it to her. You give it to him. She went up to him and gave it to him. Turned around and ran. She almost cried. I suspect he noticed, and that may, she certainly wasn't putting on a show. I suspect he noticed, and it got his attention. This girl overcomes her fear enough to give him a track when it's not what she felt like doing. But if God said to do it, you can do it. Some lady said, I used to love my husband, but I don't anymore. Well, after all he's done for me, my love has died. I can't help it. Yes, you can. God says, love your enemies. If you can love your enemy, you can love your husband. And that's not altogether a joke. A man said, I used to love my wife, but hey, that was 35 pounds ago. Well, let me explain something to you, kids. Love is not just a sweet, wonderful feeling that sneaks up on you and you have no control over. And it's for those who are good looking and classy and like you and preferably rich. If Jesus said, love your enemies, you can do it. Anything he said to do, you can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, if you're saved, you've been rescued from everlasting fire, hell. Heaven is now your, God is your, if he's your father, he will, and he will, and you can. If something bad happens, just relax because he has a good purpose. If we get careless with sin, he will punish. And we don't have to say, well, I couldn't help sinning, because he has given us his power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we better make sure we really are on our way to heaven. Jesus has done his part. He has laid down his life for us. He has taken our punishment so we don't have to take our own punishment. He has made a way to heaven. He said, I am the way. We better be sure we're on the way. Now, how do you make sure? Well, obviously, He has done his part. He has paid the penalty, and he offers a free gift. We were going our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. Well, we lied. Am I right? Now, don't sit there and lie to me now. I said we have lied. Am I right? A lot of us have stolen. Did you ever get some food Mama did not say you could have? Men, boys, we have sinned when we have hurt others. Am I right? Ladies, we have sinned. Girls, we have sinned when we have hurt others. Not the things you said about them. Ladies, am I right? God said, love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of times we could have shared with those who didn't have so much. Sometimes we didn't even think about it. We thought about what we wanted. Didn't think about what they wanted. We've all gone our own way. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the great commandment. And we've broken that one a lot. We've disobeyed parents and teachers, others in authority, especially when they're not watching. Am I right? We've all gone our own way. I have not even named some of the sins we've done in secret. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Well, guys, you know that happens a lot. Looking at the girls, the women, the pictures, the porn, with sexual desire. How serious is it? So serious, Jesus said, if your eye offends you by what you're looking at, be better to pull it out and throw it away. Enter into life with one eye than to keep both eyes and be cast into hell. Boy, you can see we need to make a big change. Jesus also said, whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. And whoever says, you fool, is in danger of hell fire. Jesus repeatedly said, if you will not forgive those who've wronged you, God will not forgive you. You can see we need to make a big change. We've gone our own way. Turning to Jesus means turning from our way. Here's how God said it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he'll have mercy. So we did check. Have I really turned from my way? Or am I still just going my own way? A few weeks ago, I was talking to a man. I showed him the scripture, what the Bible required in a certain situation. He just so much as says, well, whatever it says, I'm not going to do that. That's unthinkable for me. You better figure out which way you're going. Or you're going your own way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how you check which way you're going. There's a change. We used to go our own way. In fact, the Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Are there changes you need to make? Maybe you've just gone your own way, never even really made a change. Maybe you did make a change, and now you've gotten careless with sin, and you don't want God to... Now's the time to hurry up, make that change. You can save yourself a lot of pain and trouble. Or it may be you're just demonstrating that you're still going your own way. Do we have the lights off, please? If you know you've turned from your way, turn to Jesus for mercy. Right now, thank him that he's saved you from everlasting fire. Right now, thank him that that heaven is your home, that God is your Father. He'll protect. He'll provide. If there's some special other thing you need, ask him right now. Doesn't take long, just a few seconds. If there's some need you have, some desire you want, if it's good, God gives good things to those who ask him. Ask him right now. If something bad has happened, just relax. God has a good purpose. You can thank him. Is there some sin? You better hurry up and make a change. Repent. And don't think, well, I couldn't help it. He has given us his power. Ask yourself, am I really going his way, or am I still going my own way? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If you really know, if you realize that you need to make a change, let's bow our heads right now and name that area or those areas. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you realize that there hadn't even been a change, man, you better hurry up. Turn from your way. Listen again to what God said. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he'll have mercy. If you're a Christian and you've gotten careless about sin, man, you better hurry. You don't want the Lord to pop you. If you know you need to make this change, I'm going to say a prayer. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, please wash my sinful heart. Make me clean on the inside so I can go up to heaven like you promised. And then tell him, thank you. I'm going to say the prayer one more time. If you didn't understand before, if you know you need to make this change, you've been going your own way, then pray this prayer with all your heart. Lord Jesus, please wash my sinful heart. Make me clean on the inside so I can go up to heaven like you promised. And then tell him, thank you. Amen. Now, would you look up this way? Could we have the lights on, please? Could I ask you a question? How many of you know someone that should have been here this morning to see and hear what you've seen and heard? Or you know somebody you wish had been here this morning to see what you've seen and heard? Can I see your hand? Here's what you can do. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching again, Lord willing, and you can bring them. Whoever brings the most visitors tonight, I think I'll give them tonight's picture. I've already promised this one and the one for Sunday school, someone asked, but tonight, the picture I draw, I'm planning to give to whoever brings the most visitors. Why am I doing this? Because the Bible says, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And it'd be a good work for you to help somebody come to hear the preaching. Here's something else you can do. Our website has not just one chalk talk like this. It has a good many of them. You could have your friends watch. You could get some kids together. That'd be pretty easy. Our website is drawingotherstochrist.com. Can you remember that? What's the website? drawingotherstochrist.com. That'd be an easy way to share the gospel with others. Now, before I sit down, I need some help. You can help Vicki and Tim and me in our work around the States in the next couple months and then back in South Africa if you'll pray for us. We have huge opportunities preaching like I'm just preaching to you. I preach in public schools, many of them over 1,000, often two a day, sometimes more than two. If you'll pray for us, it'll help us. I'm 71 years old and I ain't got the spunk I used to have, so I need special prayer. Tim's been preaching now for a few years. He's preaching more now. Ask God to help. He hasn't been able to get his visa to get back there. And so as I ask God to put him where it'd be the best place to get to help God's kingdom the most. Would you pray for us sometimes? I said, would you pray for us sometimes? Good, thanks. Hope to see you tonight.